So we're going to read from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. You can find that in the Church Bibles on page 1004, or it will be on the screen. So it's page 1004, Mark 2, from verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some ears of corn. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
John, thank you so much for reading for us. Let's pray before we look at this passage together. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for your word. We thank you that you speak to us, and we pray that you would press the truths in this passage into our hearts for your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, my opening question is this: who has the power to give you true rest? Who has the power to give you true rest? The Prime Minister of Tasmania, Peter Gutwein, is clearly not the person to go to for an answer. I read this week that he has recently worked 46 days without a break, and surprise, surprise, it was too much for him. It said in the article that he had to reduce his work commitments and hand over several portfolios to his colleagues. And he said, "It's as simple as this. My body is not a machine. I hit the wall and I was quite unwell." And looking, well, as I read the article, I thought that is obviously an understatement. Peter Gutwein clearly just didn't know how to rest. But I suspect the problem is much deeper than just finding time to stop work. His problem, and the problem for many of us, is that we just don't know what true rest is. True rest is so much more than just the opposite of work. True rest is rest from unfulfilled longings and yearnings. It's rest from striving for deep satisfaction. And the paradox is that many of us try to get our true rest from work or the things we pack into our lives. In an article on overworking in The Guardian this week, Dr. Guha described work as a solace. In other words, the very thing that provides comfort and consolation. As people look to things like work to fulfill their deepest longings for significance, for worth, for meaning, for purpose, people look to things like work for rest. And when work consumes us, we begin to think that simply not working will give us rest. And yet, when we're not working, the longings, the yearnings, and striving for deep satisfaction continue. Who has the power to give you true rest? Well, the end of our passage tells us that only Jesus has power ultimately to give us true rest. But at the start of our passage, we are faced with the tragedy that a group of religious teachers, the Pharisees, think that working to keep their rules was the key to having true rest. Just like everyone, the Pharisees longed for rest, but they sought it in the wrong place. They believed that you would get true rest from working hard to obey their laws, the laws which they themselves had created. And that brings me to my first heading, which is, true rest is not found in work. The gospel writer Mark gives us this account of Jesus and his disciples walking through the cornfields. I picture it in my imagination. And as they do so, the disciples begin to pick some ears of corn. Notice, though, that the passage tells us that the disciples picked the corn and not Jesus. Verse 24 tells us that the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they doing what's unlawful on the Sabbath?" See, to their minds, the disciples were doing work which they considered was unlawful. But again, interesting, Jesus wasn't picking ears of corn, but they took it up with him rather than with the disciples. Now, their motives might well have been bad in asking the question, but in many ways, it was not an unfair question. The Sabbath took place on our Saturday, and it was a day on which people were not supposed to work. If we go back to Genesis chapter 2, we read that after God had created everything, on the seventh day, he rested. And verse 3 of Genesis 2 reads, "And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Setting aside the Sabbath or a day in the week for rest is something that is part of God's intended rhythm for creation. But later on in the Bible, we read of God giving the Israelites the law, and in particular the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment can be found at chapter 20, verse 8, which is coming up on the screen. And that says, "Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates." It's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? "And in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy." It's in the commandment to keep the Sabbath testified to God as the great creator. But it's interesting, the wording of the same commandment is a little different in Deuteronomy. There, the Israelites were reminded to keep the Sabbath as holy because God redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. The Sabbath was meant to remind the Israelites of both things: their utter dependence on God as their creator and their redeemer. Well, in the light of this, you can understand why the Pharisees were concerned to make sure they didn't work on the Sabbath. And our understanding of the Pharisees' approach grows even more when we wind on in the history of Israel to the time when the Israelites rebelled against God and as a result came under his judgment and went into exile from the land they lived in. The prophet Ezekiel spoke of God giving the Israelites the Sabbath as a sign. Keeping the Sabbath was a sign that they were keeping the whole law. And yet Ezekiel said that instead of keeping the Sabbath, the Israelites desecrated it. They turned their backs on God, and the sign of that was the way they treated the Sabbath. Again, against that background, you can see why the Pharisees were so concerned to keep the law about the Sabbath. As they saw it, not keeping the Sabbath had led to God's judgment on them and to exile. The problem was that the Pharisees had lost touch with God's purpose for the Sabbath, and they built up a whole host of their rules, their own rules and regulations, which were designed to say what you could and what you couldn't do on the Sabbath. And they created masses of rules which regulated the minutiae of the Sabbath. So when the Pharisees saw Jesus walking through a field of corn and picking some of the ears to eat, they were bothered. Why wasn't Jesus stopping his disciples? Their assumption was that the disciples were breaking the laws which they had made, and so they were breaking God's laws. And that was the problem, because the Pharisees' laws and system of law-keeping didn't reflect God's laws and his intention for the Sabbath. Look at Jesus' answer to the Pharisees in verse 25. Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need?" Have you never read? Of course they'd read it. They'd studied the scriptures. These were the religious experts of the time. They knew what it said, but the truth was they weren't interested. They didn't really want to hear what God had to say to them in his word in the Bible. And just Jesus points this out by reminding the Pharisees of an incident in the Old Testament when King David and his men were hungry and ate the consecrated bread which only priests could lawfully eat. Here was God's great anointed king, David, eating consecrated bread, probably or possibly even on the Sabbath. And God doesn't censure him. God did not indicate what he had done was wrong. Why? Well, because the Sabbath was never intended to stop people from eating when they were hungry. It was never intended to stop people's basic needs being met. And the problem was that the Pharisees were more concerned about people working to keep rules and regulations they had made. In their hearts, they seemed to yearn for control. Control over what people did on the Sabbath, and even control over what was acceptable to God. You see, the Pharisees wanted to be lords over the Sabbath. If we were to put it in a diagram, it might look something like this. The Pharisees are at the top. They determine what happens on the Sabbath, and the people at the bottom having to obey both of the things above them. The Pharisees thought that the answer to our need for rest, to our deepest longings and yearnings for satisfaction, lay in working hard to keep a set of rules. Dr. Guha's article in The Guardian this week was addressing the problem of people overworking. As a clinical and forensic psychologist, she talks in her article about her system for helping people get a more balanced life. And what she says in many ways is wise. Have more breaks. Make sure there is a clear separation between work days and weekends. Plan regular engagement in hobbies, and so her list goes on. But what she does is to provide a system, a set of rules to provide rest, much in the same way as the Pharisees. And the problem is that working to keep a set of rules will not give us rest. How many of us have yearned for something like self-worth from our work and simply not been able to stop it governing our day off or our holiday? Work is not the only place where people seek rest from their unfulfilled desire from deep satisfaction. Before his conversion, a man called Augustine sought rest from his unfulfilled desires in all sorts of things, including sex, philosophy, religion, and overindulgence. And for a time, Augustine knew these things weren't satisfying and he wanted to stop. And yet he also knew that keeping resolutions, rules, or regulations would not answer his deepest problem. What about you? Do you find yourself working to follow a set of rules which promise to give you rest, to satisfy your unfulfilled longing for deep satisfaction? Maybe you have followed your own philosophy about being good to other people, and you think that if you can do enough of that, well, then you'll have true satisfaction in life. Maybe you're restless because you know about your own inadequacies, and you've created rules for yourself to try and deal with them. Or maybe you're here today and you have a religion which tells you that if you can only keep its rules and regulations, well, then you'll have rest and your deepest longings will be satisfied. Augustine grappled with these sorts of things, but in the end, it was not a system of self-imposed rules or regulations which helped him. What changed everything was coming to know Jesus. The answer to our desire for rest, our desire fulfillment of our deepest longings, lies not in a system of self-imposed rules or regulations, but in a person of Jesus Christ. And the words for which St. Augustine is probably most famous are these: "You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." And that brings me to my next heading. True rest is only found under the lordship of Jesus. Verse 27 reveals the twisted result of the Pharisees' attempt to be the lords of the Sabbath, to exercise power over the Sabbath. Jesus said this. Have a look at verse 27. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The Pharisees' rules had turned a blessing into a burden. Instead of the Sabbath being a time of rest, they were content for people to be to be hungry and in need, just as long as their rules weren't being broken. And as we'll see next week, they were content for someone to continue with a withered hand on the Sabbath, rather than for that person to be healed. No, says Jesus, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus is saying that on day six, God created man, and on day seven, God created the Sabbath for man's benefit. God wants us to have a day of rest from our work for our own good. It's a day when we're reminded that we're utterly dependent on God, our Creator and our Redeemer. It's a day when we're reminded that God is the one who provides for us in His kindness, and it's not our work that provides for us. If we were to draw a diagram, it would look like this. There now, Jesus is at the top. We are next, and the Sabbath is there for our benefit. God has given the Sabbath to us. Now, verse 28 starts, you may have noticed, but starts with the word so. The Greek word horster there means with the result that. And the logic is that the Sabbath was made for man so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is the one referred to in the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, as God's great king who has authority over all people. And Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man, as the one with authority over us. And so, as the Sabbath is for us, so it is under Jesus' authority because he is Lord over us. And the implications of this are breathtaking. Jesus, in Mark's gospel, has already claimed authority over sickness. He claimed authority to forgive sins. He's claimed authority over religious practice. And now he says he has authority even over the Sabbath. And that means he's saying, I am the Lord of the Sabbath, which you read about in Genesis as being created on the seventh day by God. I'm the Lord over the Ten Commandments, which were given to Moses by God himself. And I'm Lord over you. It is a breathtaking claim to equality with God. So what does it mean that Jesus is Lord over the Sabbath? Well, it means that true rest is found in him. True rest is found in him, the one with God's power. It's not ultimately found in keeping to a system of rules or to a schedule. True rest is not found in a religion of works, which is what the Pharisees had created. True rest is found in a relationship with Jesus, accepting him as our Lord. True rest is to be found in accepting him as our Lord rather than work or money or power or busyness or holidays or whatever it is we choose to give our lives to other than him. It's so personal. And if you're worried about the idea of accepting someone as Lord, accepting someone as the boss, as the one who calls the shots in your life, well, look at how the Lord of the Sabbath exercises his power. First of all, in this passage, he protects and defends his disciples because their hunger and their needs matter to him. Jesus was prepared to stand up for his followers against fierce opposition of the Pharisees. And of course, as we read on in Mark's gospel, we see how he does that, and it ultimately will lead to his death. And secondly, in the passage which follows, which we'll hear again next week, Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Again, in the face of fierce opposition. That's how Jesus uses his power to give life. The true Lord of the Sabbath wants us to be healed and restored. And thirdly, ultimately, Jesus chooses to lay down his life for his people by dying on the cross for our sins and taking the punishment we deserve for our wrongdoing. And he rose again from death so that if we trust in him, we too will one day have eternal rest in heaven. Jesus uses his power to do what we cannot do for ourselves, and he exercises it not impersonally like a rule or a regulation, but with love to meet our deepest needs. And in him we have significance, value, and purpose. Who do you want to go to for rest? Just look at Jesus and how in love he exercises his power. And think too about so many of the alternatives we're tempted to turn to. Work, which can't ultimately satisfy, will demand more and more from us, and if we let it, will lead to stress and ill health. What about drink? Well, that never satisfies, but slowly removes our God-given dignity and bit by bit exerts its control on us and destroys us. What about holidays? And we all love a holiday. Will they give us true rest? We all know they're short-lived, aren't they? What we have come to expect is expensive, and so often they disappoint when there's a cancellation or the accommodation isn't up to scratch or something goes wrong. The only one who has power to give us true rest is Jesus. He makes this claim to be the Lord of the Sabbath, the only one who has power to give true rest. And having made the claim, he proves it. He proves he has the power to give us true rest. And we'll see that again next week as he heals the man with the shriveled hand on the Sabbath. And of course, ultimately, he proves he has the power to give us true rest by dying and rising again on the first day of the week, which is why we Christians meet on a Sunday. He is the one who has the power to satisfy our deepest longings. And if we accept him as Lord, we will come to know something of that satisfaction now. And one day, when he returns, we will know it completely. Whether you're a Christian or not, we all desire rest. We all desire deep satisfaction from unfulfilled longings and desires. Only Jesus has the power to give true rest. And the question for us is whether we will accept him as Lord. You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you. Oh, loving Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his love and his power. But we thank you that you are the one who offers us true rest. Lord, help us to come to you rather than to look to other things. And Lord, may we find that rest in you. And ultimately, Lord, may we be with you in eternity, enjoying the rest of being in your presence, seeing you face to face. And we ask this for your name's sake. Amen.